ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Tonight is the first college football playoff rankings. They will be unveiled at 6 o'clock this evening. We're going to give you who we think should be in the top six and who we think it'll actually be. Does that make sense? So who would be your top six? I've actually gone out to 10. But who would be in your top six versus what do you think it's really going to look like tonight when the committee has unveiled the very first college football playoff rankings? So we'll talk about that. Other college football from around the over the weekend, both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State roll up for inferior opponents. What's the toughest game left for each outside of Bedlam? I think we can make the argument for both teams that the toughest game left is Bedlam. But outside of that, what is the main potential kind of, you know, landmine en route to an undefeated Oklahoma versus a one-loss Oklahoma State in Bedlam, in Stillwater, right after Thanksgiving? Let's talk about that. Around the country, what happened over the weekend? Gary Patterson out. We kind of hit on that just a little bit, but we can really get more in depth on that. And also, I think the Heisman Trophy race added a new name, and that name is Kenneth Walker III. How long has it been since we've seen a worse Heisman Trophy race? I mean, here we are, first week of November, and there is nobody that has asserted themselves, maybe outside of Walker, what he did on Saturday, but it doesn't feel like this is much of a race yet. And maybe everyone's waiting on the Heisman moments. And it's pretty interesting because there's one guy that's had a ton of them, more than anybody in the country, but he really doesn't have much of a chance to win it. So it's like if he could sell a couple of these Heisman moments to some of the other candidates, it'd feel a little bit different in this race. I'll get to what that means coming up. Also, the NFL week in review. Boy, the Chiefs almost lost at home to the Giants, but Butker kicks a field goal with a minute left, and they win 20-17.
Is that like almost losing to Kansas?
I think so. I mean, it's pretty bad. Huge performances over the weekend in the NFL by backup quarterbacks. The Derrick Henry injury has become official, having surgery as we speak. A familiar name around these old parts is going to try to fill in as best as he can for Derrick Henry. Also, the Rams going all in. What a trade they made yesterday. Top five, bottom three in NFL. We'd like to hear yours as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of the listening area one of these days and you want to listen to the show live, a couple of ways to do that. You can log on to kadsam.com. You can also download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon with the three radio stations here in Elk City, KECO, Cool 94, and right here on KADS. You got the Penny News in the Paragon app, brand new edition of the Penny News. We'll hit the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com is that site. And then you've also got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Paragon TV, tonight, high school basketball. Unbelievable that we're already to high school basketball. But it's coming. Arapahoe Butler at Granite. And then Cheyenne at Sweetwater. I'm looking at the site. I'm trying to find the... I'm efforting. I thought it was on this little screen here, the side.
Let's see. Yeah. Calendar.
Yeah.
Right there on the right.
Not getting it.
Number two.
I'm not getting it, man. Do I need to go back to the first?
KADSAM.com.
Oh, there we go. I was on Paragon.
It's okay. That would make sense. I wish we had a calendar on. Maybe that's something we can get on there. Right? Maybe that would work. Let's see here. It is Granite at Arapaho Butler.
The other way around. Granite at Arapaho.
At Arapaho. And Cheyenne is at Sweetwater.
That's right. And then Friday, Air Buddy.
Yes.
Air Buddy gets going Friday. So, two games. Granite and Arapaho Butler. Cheyenne Raiden at Sweetwater tonight. Paragon TV. 6:30 for the tips of those girls' games. Be fun times. Matty Oaks. Mike. Keith. Up there at Cheyenne.
I think Rapo, man. Girls and boys can be really good this year.
Watch out for Katie Edlin, folks. Mm-hmm. Watch out for Katie Edlin.
And for the boys.
Brett Griffith.
I kept calling him a senior last year because he was Brett playing Griffith. At a senior level.
I was visiting last night with Beth Cheyenne, and there's some excitement up there.
Well, some
for
new,
sure.
new coach, coaching the girls.
Leisha.
Right.
Leisha Carlson. I had no idea.
Yes.
Till last night.
Yeah.
She was one heck of a ball player.
Mm-hmm. So, let's face it. There's a lot of excitement everywhere. It's small school basketball.
No doubt about it.
Everybody's there was a junior high game in Canute last night, and you would have thought it was for a playoff spot or something. The parking lot was full. And you drive by my house to go there. So you know when the game's over, you hear vroom, vroom, vroom.
Nobody pays attention to those signs you've got out in your yard. Doesn't feel like.
I'm sorry, Julie. I think it's having the opposite effect.
I do, too. It's so funny.
They're not my signs, by the way. They're not my signs.
They're in your yard, which is unfortunate for you.
Technically, that's not my yard. That's
the right-of-way?
It's
pretty close
that
to your
property, if you look at the deed, is not mine.
well, it's out.
Probably will be mine one day.
Well, it's out behind your house.
Yeah.
And so it was so funny you said that because we were visiting, coming to pick you up on Friday to head over to Clinton and wondering if those signs – they just say slow children at play because there is, you know, your kids and whatnot.
I can guarantee you my kids aren't that far out.
Well, that's a long ways from your house for sure. But we were wondering.
Katie's hit a golf ball or two that way, and I say, I'll get that golf ball. Don't worry about it.
We were wondering if it had the opposite effect, like, oh, yeah, watch this.
Yeah. I feel like Clint Eastwood sometimes when I'm sitting on my back porch and I see someone speed by.
Do you just yell, slow down?
Dang speedsters. Anyways. I love being the butt of a joke.
I got a text. It says, I take his signs as a challenge.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Along with the radar.
Well, that I've always had that theory about the any radar sign. You know what I mean? Those speed limit signs that track your speed.
Yeah.
I've always had a theory like people want to see how fast they can get that thing, yes. How high they can get that thing going.
Uh-huh.
I do. I think it has an opposite effect as well. I don't know.
It's pretty funny. That's pretty
funny.
Sure,
there's a
that.
Study out there that says it actually works, but I don't think my signs are.
Maybe not in Canute. No. Those studies aren't being done in Western Oklahoma.
No.
Anyway, so we've got those two games. Granite at Arapaho, Cheyenne Raiden at Sweetwater.
Great start to the show. I'm kind of hoping no one's listening.
How was...
I'm waiting for my phone.
Here's a better question for you then to kind of change the subject for just a second.
Please do.
So how was the birthday, the present opening and
all
that last
night?
Oh, boy,
as soon as I opened the door... My now five-year-old comes running around the corner like, Daddy's home! Because she knew, I can open presents now.
So her actual birthday was yesterday?
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah, we celebrated it on Saturday. By the way, fantastic bowling alley over there at Clinton, if you haven't checked it out. It's the closest
awesome.
One we can go to now, but I encourage it. But and for parties, too. Unlimited bowling for 2 hours, great price.
Nice.
So,
are you sore?
Yeah. Me and Allie, like, we had 30 minutes left. Everyone kind of was ducking out. And, like, we got 30 minutes. So we were just, you know, we had four lanes reserved.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest and her friend were going crazy on the bumper side. And me and Allie were just rolling them. Boom, boom. I was getting a rhythm, a few strikes in a row, and we're kind of looking at each other. And I said, man, I think we need to join the couples league. Well, afterwards, I was kind of, ooh, man, my arm was kind of throbbing. But, no, it's great. It was great. But last night was my kid's actual birthday, November 1st. She turned 5. And, you know, we had our workshop last night, which was really a success. Got to meet everybody that's going to be a part of Paragon, as you mentioned. But as soon as that was over, I got home and I told her, hey, I'll get home in time to open presents. Don't open presents without me. So as soon as I got home, she just tore into those presents and had a blast. Number one present, I think, for any kid at this age.
She's now 5.
She's 5 years old. And fidgets, man. Fidgets and poppers. You get those kids the fidget stuff and the popper stuff. The poppet, whatever they're called. I mean, you might as well get them bubble wrap.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. Because it really feel any little kid birthday party I've been to, it's kind of disappointing when their favorite things are the bubble wrap and the box that whatever you got them came
whoever,
in.
Somebody went, you know what? Let's invent reusable bubble wrap. And that's what essentially that is.
Yeah.
And they're everywhere in all forms and all shapes. She got a little, like a purse, but it zips
oh, really?
Open, but it has the poppets on both sides. So she could put stuff in it and still... Anyways, she loves it. Loves all the fidget stuff. So she got a bunch of that, Barbies, you know. We gave her some learning stuff, books and stuff. And she just looked at those, kind of threw them aside and went to the next present.
Really? Learning?
Yeah, got some clothes because this kid is, like all kids do, they grow like weeds. So she got a lot of clothes.
I wonder if you, yes, the things are ridiculous. There you are. Everybody's got that same thing. Oh, popular. Our
the
man
fidget
Billy.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're very popular.
I wonder if you will regret, like when you say pop, is it loud?
No.
It's just like a pop, 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 pop.
You don't even hear it.
You don't hear it.
Have you seen these things? I have to bring one
because
my kids have a ton of them. They wouldn't miss one, but they just, and they, I admit, there's times I'm sitting in my easy chair and there's one just lying there and I'll grab it and just kind of start messing with it as I watch a game or something.
I was just wondering if you would regret the noise that it would make.
They don't make a noise.
Did anybody get her a present where you were like, honey, write that one down so we can remember who got that for us.
Take the batteries
out,
yeah.
We can absolutely get some sort of payback.
She got a ukulele.
Oh, dear. That would call off. That's call. That
like
would qualify
a,
for
like
what I'm talking about.
Like a toy ukulele. It's not as annoying, but that's the loudest toy I think she got.
I remember a couple of years ago, 3 or 4, when my brother-in-law, you know him, Vince.
Oh, yeah.
Bought Wyatt a coyote call.
Oh, dear.
A coyote call for a five, 6-year-old kid.
Sounds like a scream environment, yeah.
Really cool, Vince. What was funny is...
You should get his girls a turkey call or something.
Listen, we have not... paid that one back just yet.
You're waiting for the right
time. But it's
coming. Yes.
And here's the difference. He's got 2 children instead of just 1.
Yeah.
So they can each have something.
There it is.
That would be pretty annoying, like a drum set
or
something like that.
Or something. Yeah. Something. Yeah.
But what was funny is, so we obviously confiscated that pretty quickly. But you know where we hit it?
You hit it? Where'd you hide it?
Right in plain sight. Right on the cabinet. It took literally took Wyatt 2.5 years to see it.
Oh, there it is.
Which is also a big frustration around our house when he can't find things.
Right in plain
That's
sight.
Why we did it. Because, heck, he can find it when it's hidden.
Yes.
Let's just put it on the counter. It's right next to the coffee maker. And he didn't see it for 2.5 years. It's great.
That's funny.
Just the way children are. But
that's funny.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Well.
Fun times at the 8th house. Fun times last night, like you said, getting everything going, getting together as a group. There's some excitement. You're right. Excitement all around for all the smaller schools, it feels like, one way or the other. Last night's Monday night game between the Giants and the Chiefs, 20-17, the Chiefs defeated the Giants. So that ends the first half of the season. Week 8 is in the books. And so we're halfway home. Basically, in the NFL year, with 17 games this year, there's not an exact half point. But we're going to go ahead and call it the halfway point. And Week 8 was amazing. I know it happens. I know it's happened. and this is just prisoner of the moment and recency bias and all that kind of stuff. But this weekend, I'm having a hard time remembering three backup quarterback performances against good teams like we got with Mike White throwing for 402 yards, three touchdowns. He did throw two picks, but the Jets inexplicably knocked off the Cincinnati Bengals, which in a normal year you'd be going, my God, who watched that game? Jets and Bengals? Gross. This year's not the case. The Bengals came in leading the AFC this week. And so now you look at the Jets, they've won two games and they've beaten the Bengals and the Titans of all teams.
Jeez.
But White threw for 405, three touchdowns and two picks in place of Zach Wilson. Then as New Orleans and Tampa Bay were playing down in the Superdome, Jameis Winston goes out with a torn ACL. Trevor Siemian replaces him to the tune of 159 through a touchdown, no picks, in a Saints win over the Bucs. And then the nightcap on Sunday night, Cooper Rush came off the Dallas Cowboys bench, threw for 325, two touchdowns, a pick. One of those touchdowns was to Amari Cooper with 50 seconds left in the game as the game winner in a Dallas win over Minnesota. To me, the backup quarterback performances I remember, one, Jeff Hostetler in 1990 leading the Giants to the Super Bowl win over the Bills when he filled in for Phil Simms, who got hurt in the playoff run. And two, Jason Garrett in like 94 or something like that on Thanksgiving when he filled in for Troy and the Cowboys beat the Packers, I think, that year. And threw for all these yards. But outside of that, the backup quarterback performances aren't all that notable. But this week it seemed like they were. It wasn't just teams. These games were won by these quarterbacks. Not, you know what I'm saying?
They weren't just kind of in the fourth quarter and hold on to a lead. They didn't just
hand it off.
Right.
You know, these guys have great stats and are a big-time reason why those teams won.
Yeah, do you think that just shows us how deep the quarterback position is as a whole in this league?
Kind of and kind of not.
I mean, let's think about it like this. Could you put a guy like Cooper Rush or Mike White on the Dolphins, and would they have more than just one win if they had started with that?
So. Is it a
situation where other teams did not know how to prepare for these guys? I mean, Minnesota, they didn't know that Dak was going to be a scratch until game day. They've been preparing all week for Dak Prescott. And then he was a couple hours before the game, and he was announced he wasn't going to start. All of a sudden, that changes. The game plan changes. How do you change a game plan in 2 hours? You don't. You can't.
I think that's a huge part of what happened
and you know that
to the Bengals.
The Cowboys, they knew that. Cooper Rush was the guy probably 3 or 4 days before this.
Listen, I think Minnesota knew he was too. All you got to do is pay attention to lines.
Yeah.
The line moves 6 points.
Right.
From Dallas favored by three to Minnesota favored by three. That's the only way that happens is Dak Prescott not playing. Like, he's the only player that can influence that line that much. So if you're Minnesota, if you got caught off guard by that, because that started on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got caught off guard by that, that's your own fault. But I really do think that's what happened to the Bengals. Two things. One, not used to winning.
Yeah.
And two, a different quarterback. Mike White completed, and I really appreciate him for this, 9 passes to the running back, Michael Carter, and then 5 to the other running back, Ty Johnson. So of his 39 completions, 14 were to backs. And I think that's just the natural flow of things with backups. You know, they're more likely to check it down.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're just more likely to do that.
And your offensive coordinator is going to put them in a good situation too.
I mean, what do you always hear? Give them easy throws to build confidence.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, watching the Cowboys game, Chris Collinsworth made a huge point of it. Oh, you can tell he's settling in. He's starting to read what Minnesota's doing.
Right.
And I think that was one of the most impressive things about Rush. They didn't change the game plan.
Offensively,
right. For Cooper Rush. He was running the same plays Dak would run.
You're right.
Throwing it to the same guys in the same spots. And he was able to do it. Now, here is what I would wonder, to your point about game planning and all that. If these guys are back in the saddle this week, I would be shocked
if they have success.
If the success rate was the same as it was last week.
Right, right. And that's just based on history, you see that. But okay, now they've had a full week to prepare for a Mike White, for a Trevor Siemian. And we hope not, but Cooper Rush. Sounds like Dak's going to be back. Right? They said he'll be a full go in practice by Thursday, which gives me a little concern as a Dallas fan.
Denver's coming to town.
Yeah, that doesn't concern me. That's true.
I mean, if
how healthy is Dak? That's my question. Yeah, or how hurt was he really?
Yeah, you wonder how much precaution this was, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
I mean, it helps when you're in the horrible NFC East and you're willing to concede a game.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I get it with the division. I mean, there's four games up on Philly, essentially five because you beat them. So that, you know, winning the division, but it isn't a huge concern right now.
It's not a.
I mean, literally, if you just win your division games from here on out, you can lose the rest of them, and you're clearly going to win.
Yeah, but
it's about
you want a one seed.
That's
you want
right.
Maybe a bye.
Maybe a bye, or for sure,
home
you know,
field advantage. All
some
that.
Of that
yeah,
stuff.
So yeah,
which was why it was so important.
So it was risky to do that on Sunday night, but man, now how confident are you if you have to continue with Cooper Rush? I'm pretty confident.
More confident than I was when you sent the text message. It was two words. One of them started with an S, and I agreed. when the news broke officially.
Oh, it was well and then finished.
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Something like
oh,
that.
Well.
Dot, dot, dot. There's more dots than words. But to that point, if Dak really isn't 100% healthy, you've got the Broncos at home and you got the Falcons at home. Really? Give him time off. Everybody's flying the Cooper Rush flag on the bandwagon right now.
Right.
Before heading to Arrowhead. On the 21st to face the Chiefs.
Speaking of the Chiefs, that game doesn't look so scary now.
Mm-mm.
After last night, after their, what are they, 4-4 start?
4-4.
What is wrong with the Chiefs?
Their defense is terrible. Their offensive line isn't very good. And Mahomes has thrown it to the wrong color. They got fortunate.
Maybe you stop with the no-look passes and look where you're throwing.
They got fortunate last night with the Giants jumping off sides.
Yeah.
Because he threw another pick down in his own territory. I mean, that would, you know, that's almost night-night time at that point for the Giants to be able to kick a field goal and win the game. Derrick Henry injury, he's going to be out indefinitely for sure the regular season. I saw some reports yesterday that depending on how long a playoff run might be, there's a possibility. But for all intents and purposes, Derrick Henry is out for the regular season for sure. They picked up a familiar name, Adrian Peterson. Will be one of the three-headed monster trying to replace the monster that was Derrick Henry. Through eight games this season, Derrick Henry had 219 rush attempts through eight games. That is an NFL record.
Yeah, I was going to say, that has to be pretty high.
That's an NFL record through 8 weeks. He was on pace for 465 regular season carries. That is just nobody's doing that. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, nobody other than Derrick Henry. So it's a huge loss. I'm anxious to see. I, you know, Jim said they're done. And maybe as far as Super Bowl aspirations, maybe that is true. But they've got such a huge lead in that division now after that win over the Colts on Sunday. The Titans are going to be in the playoffs, and the Titans are going to win that division. They're going to host a home game in the playoffs. So to what extent they're done, I'm not sure. I want to see what happens. I mean, I'm by no means saying that Jeremy McNichol and Adrian Peterson and the other guy are going to be able to pick up the slack for Derrick Henry. But I also think that those, you know, the acquisition of Julio Jones, you've got A.J. Brown. Tannehill, I think, is underrated for what he does. And this is going to be a great test case, I think, for other teams as far as, okay, like the Browns, for instance. You would think the Browns are watching this like a hawk, right? Because if Ryan Tannehill is able to kind of keep this team afloat, maybe win a playoff game or something like that, then maybe we're undervaluing him and overvaluing what Derrick Henry brings, especially if some of the play-action stuff still works without Henry's threat back there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if the offense falls off a cliff – then I think you look at yourself and go, damn, we paid him too much. Mm. That being him being Tannehill.
Yeah.
And you'd have to think Cleveland's watching this so closely because of what they do mirrors a lot of what Tennessee does.
Yeah.
And they're in a situation where they haven't paid their quarterback yet. So how, you know, does this help or hurt, you know, Baker Mayfield? I think he's going to be either more valuable or less in a weird way by what happens in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how that mirrors each other. Yeah, they'll keep a close eye. Looking at the Titans' record schedule.
Their schedule sucks, yeah. So that helps.
Yeah. At Rams.
I mean, after
that's what I meant. It sucks.
No.
At Rams.
Yeah, but their schedule isn't that hard.
Saints. I mean, is Trevor Siemian going to – yeah.
Texans,
that's a win. At Patriots, who are suddenly playing good.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars win. At Pittsburgh, flip a coin. 49ers, Dolphins, Texans again.
Yeah.
So.
That's yeah, more than manageable.
It's manageable. Tannehill, it's going to be on him. You would hope that bringing in Peterson, you know, if he can be just somewhat productive to at least make defenses stay honest to him, that would take the pressure off, obviously, of Tannehill. But if Peterson can't, I mean, if it's just 1-2 yards every carry, then it might be a rough go at it for Tannehill.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how good he is. And we'll see how much it's Derrick Henry or how much it's just the run game. You know what I mean?
Right.
Moving forward, obviously. You wouldn't suspect that defenses would have the same concern for McNichol or for Adrian or for whoever's back there as they have had for Derrick Henry.
Right.
Until it's proven. And by the way, it's not going to be proven that any of those guys are Derrick Henry because they're not. Not anymore. This ain't 2010.
No.
With Adrian. This is 2021. Last thing on the NFL, the Rams all in after that trade yesterday to bring Von Miller over. You've got two of the top five in the league now on the same defensive line in pressures and sacks for this year. Von Miller, I'm anxious to see if Von Miller, the player, lives up to what Von Miller, the name, is.
Yeah.
Alongside Aaron Donald.
I've always wondered if Von Miller has already peaked or if he's just on a bad
hand
team.
Injuries.
Yeah, the injuries.
And how much has that slowed him down or how much is he ready to just explode?
Right, right. This is a big move. It's a risky move by L.A. because if it doesn't work out, you've traded off some capital there. Is that the new way to do it? Just go trade for your team. Don't draft him. Trade.
No.
Because, I mean, that's what they got their quarterback that way. They're
yeah,
Von
but,
Miller. I mean, could it cost them? I mean, pretty.
Listen, they're in such
pretty detrimental if this does not work out, and all of a sudden you're like, well, we can't go to the draft very much.
Denver's
can't go to the well there.
Denver's paying the salary, and they give up what, 2 second rounders for Von Miller. For them, where the way that I mean, because they're pretty cap in trouble. They've just kind of kicked the can down the road, as they say.
Them being L.A.
Them being the Rams, yes. And so that this was really their only choice as far as a way to acquire a player is to trade probably more than what you would want to because it's going to be hard for them to just outright sign people. But the problem is you're also trading cheap labor coming up that you're going to need to fill in the pieces with what you've already paid or what you're paying different guys. Mm-hmm. It's something that all teams run into. It's almost the better you are at drafting, the worse cap situation you're going to be in 4 years. But that's where you have to make the right decisions on who to pay and who to just let walk. And L.A. is – this is just an all-in move to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, rumor mill had Von Miller connected to Dallas.
That's where he's from.
I know. Maybe that's why it's easy to connect those dots.
Would have been nice.
But the rumor mill, I guess he was kind of –
I
bet you he was putting it out there. He wants to be in Dallas.
I'd seen that out of him, like not even putting it out there. I'd seen him say
it.
That's something that I've thought about as far as ending my career back home with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
It's not going to happen at least to finish this year. All right, who's your top five?
My top five, I'll go 5-1. Cardinals dropped for me. Obviously, they lost. I'll put them at number five, though. They're still a top five team. They had a chance to win that game. Came up short. Green Bay ahead of them at number four. And this was close for me between Green Bay and the Cowboys. But I'll put the Cowboys at number three because I was impressed with, again, how many times have we said it this year? Those are games I usually lose. Minnesota's a game they usually lose, right?
Oh, yeah.
New England was a game they usually lose. And they're doing things. They're winning. They're doing winning things. So I put them at number three. Bills at number two. I think they're kind of solidified right there. And Rams, because of what happened with the trade, I'll put Rams at number one.
I've got Rams one, Dallas two, Green Bay three, Tampa four, Buffalo five.
I thought that Tampa Bay loss, I mean, if we went to six, I'd put them there. But that Tampa Bay loss to a backup quarterback, New Orleans, that was a bad loss for them.
I've got I don't have Arizona in. I don't know if Kyler Murray can stay healthy. So this almost feels like a foreshadowing for me. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I just don't know if he can do it. We saw it just the other night, just trying to make a play at the end
of
the game.
Until he can, he's going to be in my top five. Until he can.
Well, is he?
And
is he right now? Do we know?
Is he healthy?
After what happened the other night at the end of the game?
If they lose next week, I'll drop him out. But this is based on what's happening.
No, I'm literally asking, do we know if he's okay right now?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know his status.
He kind of got rolled up on. He is not on the injury report, so that's good news.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was such an innocuous play. Running up the middle, trying to make a play at the end of the game, and then all of a sudden he's limping around and can't even hardly stand on his leg. That scares me. Bottom three.
Lions, win a game, dang it. I might kick you out of here because you're fun to watch, but you can't win a game.
I know.
Lions in there, and then the Florida teams. Jaguars and Dolphins.
I've got Jags, I've got Detroit, and I've got Washington.
Washington.
Washington lost to the Broncos. Come on, man. Washington.
Oh, Washington.
I hate having the Lions in there, but you have to, almost. I don't think they're one of the three worst teams, though.
I know, but
they play hard. They just can't win. They're just not very good.
That zero stands out.
And is that not the definition of a terrible team?
Yes.
You play good and you lose.
That's true.
Still got a few days before it's time to make your picks in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. All the way up to week 10 this week. Been some pretty good picking. Not by me, but there has been some pretty good picking. There it is. 53-37. That's a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
53 of 90. 52, 51, and some 50s. 49s. And then we're down there to us at 41-49. I just fell off the cliff the last few weeks.
I've actually picked it up a little bit.
40. I went 4-10, 3-10, 4-10 over the last 3 weeks and just plummeted down like a rock down the standings. Just been a sad performance by me. Anyhow, you still got a few days. Looks like the list is up, isn't it? I believe it is. Yep, the new list is up. So go make your picks. Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. People before property is their motto. Visit Tyler Harris and Robbie Allen, all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. You know, it's a shocking line, just looking through the picks here.
Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Nah. Just it's shocking to see.
What is that?
Alabama favored by 28.5 points against LSU. It's just. Listen, I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just saying when those two teams play, you're expecting the game of the year in the SEC, not a four touchdown favorite.
Yeah, that's a little big.
Well, you go ahead and pick LSU there, big guy.
Well,
I tried it last week. I jumped in front of the Georgia train with Florida. That was dumb.
Well, listen, 64% of America is picking LSU.
I see it. And this is why my record isn't very good in this game.
Because
I would go the other way just out of pure spite.
Yeah.
And normally the public's wrong. Like down here, Oregon, -6.5 at Washington. 84% are on the Ducks. I will pick Washington. Guaranteed. Boom, I just did it. Just because normally 84% of the people aren't right. But in this contest, it seems like they have been, which is why I plummeted down the standings. I'm going against the public, and the public's been right a bunch this year. Anyhow, Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property. All right, college football this weekend. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both did what they were supposed to do against inferior opponents. The Cowboys gave up no first downs in the first half to Kansas in a 55-3 win. Spencer Sanders continued to kind of get better. Didn't turn the ball over, two touchdowns and limited work. It was just, there's not a lot about, they did. You know the only reason we talked Kansas football last week? Is because Oklahoma laid an egg and almost lost.
Right.
The reason we're not going to talk about Kansas football this week is because Oklahoma State destroyed them like you're supposed to. And so now the Cowboys move on to a game in Morgantown against West Virginia. Oklahoma, defensively, were much better against TCU, really only allowing two touchdowns and nine drives. The last one was at the end when all the kind of backups were in. So much better from defense from Oklahoma. Caleb Williams, six touchdown passes, joining Baker and Kyler as the only Oklahoma signal callers with that accomplishment. And you know what's funny to me? How much better the receiving corps at Oklahoma looks all of a sudden.
Yeah, that is funny. Why is that? It's the same
Caleb
guys.
Williams.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
it's directly attributable to the quarterback.
Yeah. Or is it A, they're playing harder, B, the balls are being put in more catchable situations?
I think the quarterback is doing what he's supposed to do.
Okay.
And the quarterback is able to get away from some of the pressure that then creates big plays.
Oh, yeah. He's done that a lot. What you need. You need to do that.
The other quarterback would run into sacks.
Right.
When there was a pocket there. This one looks like Houdini sometimes.
Yeah.
But I just think that there's more of a confidence from that position now than there was to start the season.
Well, I mean, confidence, it spreads. That's what Baker was known for with how he would have that chip on his shoulder and he'd come out knowing he was going to be successful, and that spread out throughout the team. Kyler wasn't that boisterous like Baker was, but his performance, the way he played, same scenario, it would spread out throughout the rest of the team. And it's funny, I saw a lot of people say this, it's like Baker and Kyler had a baby and its name is Caleb Williams. You know what I mean? So he kind of has that, not that chip on his shoulder, but he's very demonstrative when things are going good, and that breeds success. And it makes, the reason I say him all this is because maybe even if the ball isn't where it needs to be, perfect example, Jaden Hazelwood's catch on that third and long, on that one-handed snag, you almost beg the question, would he have done that if that was thrown by Spencer Sanders? Or well, Rattler, excuse me.
Let's see, yeah, he definitely wouldn't have if it was thrown by Spencer Sanders.
I keep doing that with the Spencers.
Well, I don't think anybody's playing harder. I just think the quarterback is better. It's that simple.
Well, yeah.
He's better.
If he wasn't better, he's not,
that's
he's
right.
not playing.
And that's why. But what you see is the receivers are able to show their talent when a guy is running the offense correctly.
Right.
That's all I'm saying is what's happening now. Around the country this weekend, man, Jim Harbaugh. Golly. Listen, Michigan played well. They did. They played very well. This wasn't one of those eggs that you see Harbaugh lay in these big games, right? I mean, this was a game that when you get done watching it, first off, it was a fantastic football game. And second off, you go away thinking, God, Michigan should have won that game. They had it, and they let it slip, which is a different feeling than, oh, my God, Michigan is so far away, the way it's been the last couple of years. But a loss is still a loss, and the Wolverines suffered their first one. Two little brother, Mel Tucker and Michigan State, have now won two in a row against the Wolverines. Mel Tucker is the first Michigan State head coach ever to win the first two against the Wolverines. And now Michigan State has kind of jumped into the consciousness of America. They were undefeated coming in, had not beaten a team that with a winning record until this one, and now they have, given Michigan their first loss. I thought it was really impressive from Michigan State. And really, Michigan, like I said, I thought Michigan played very, very well, just didn't get it done in the end.
Yeah, the way they started, you thought this was going to be Michigan's to blow or to lose, and that's kind of what they did. With the way that game started with that, what was it, 93-yard touchdown reception. Yeah, Harbaugh, I don't know. I asked Jim about mental blocks yesterday. Sometimes I feel like that's some of it with him, just kind of out-coaching himself on the sideline in big game situations like this.
Yeah, it's 30-14 with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter when Walker scores. And the crazy thing is, and I think Jim referenced this yesterday, not only did they score two touchdowns, but they got the two-point conversion twice to tie it.
Right.
From 30-14 to 30-30. And then the late fumble by the Wolverines as kind of a cross-up between the quarterback and the running back, and the ball just laying there, and then immediately Michigan State takes it down for a touchdown. And Kenneth Walker kind of sealed the thing for the Spartans. So now you look up, and Michigan State's undefeated 8-0. They go to Purdue, which we saw that wasn't very cool for Iowa a couple weeks ago. But then Maryland, and the last two are huge, at Ohio State, and then they'll host Penn State to finish. You know, this is a really good opportunity for Michigan State. You know, that game in Columbus, the 20th, looms very, very large with not only the Big Ten East race, but also stamping a ticket into the college football playoff.
Careful.
Purdue.
Careful. Purdue likes to do that. They like to be overlooked.
What was the stat? The stat that the day they beat Iowa, they had the most wins as an unranked team against AP top fives ever. I think that one made it 9.
Yeah. And you think they're going to be scared of Michigan State? Nah.
Guess where they're at this week? Unranked against the top five AP.
And it's
– it's at Purdue.
At Purdue. I just be very careful if I'm Michigan State. You could have that letdown game. That could be it. I'm not ready to pick Purdue. I'm just saying keep an eye on that one, because I would not be shocked if Purdue pulls off the upset, and here we are going, well, Michigan State blew their chance.
Yeah, but they won't. I think what that win gave them was a mully. Because even if they lose to Purdue, if they beat Ohio State and beat Penn State and win the Big Ten with one loss, they're still going to be in.
Of course.
But it did give them a breathing room. It did give them the opportunity to lay an egg this week or against Maryland with what they've got at the end of the schedule. Elsewhere, Ohio State struggled a bunch. I thought Penn State was really good in that game. A couple of things here and there, and Penn State could have walked out of there with a win. But they didn't, and Ohio State is the darling of the entire country, it seems like. Maybe a lot of it is to do with one of their alums on the football final show. It's just praising them. But he's apparently talked Sam Acho into believing everything, too, because they both got Ohio State as number 2 in the rankings, which is just ludicrous.
Stupid.
Elsewhere, Auburn. Can Auburn be the fly in the ointment? They knocked off Ole Miss. Bo Nix looks like the quarterback everybody thought he might be when he was recruited a couple years ago versus the guy that just hadn't really got it going yet. They've got a huge game down in College Station. Auburn quiet.
Arguably two of the hottest teams in the SEC right now.
Auburn quiet 6-2 and playing well.
Yeah, it'll be big game in College Station. But A&M, they want to be that fly in the ointment too. I mean, they already ruined Alabama's perfect season.
Yeah, and one of these two teams is poised to be the foe for Georgia.
Alabama or?
No, to be the foe for Georgia in the SEC title game.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because if A&M can win this game, they'll be rooting like hell for Auburn to win the Iron Bowl.
Right.
And they'll go. If Auburn wins this game, then the Iron Bowl will be for that spot.
For that spot.
Pretty much.
Yep.
You know, granted, they have to take care of the rest. And Auburn would still have that Mississippi State game, even though they'll host them. And then South Carolina before Alabama. But, you know what I'm saying? These are the step-ins for Bama. One, by Auburn beating them. And two, because A&M has already won that game, if Alabama would suffer that second loss. You know who's hoping that happens?
Georgia.
Yeah.
They don't want Alabama.
You wouldn't even think Georgia would rather play A&M than Alabama?
Absolutely.
Or Auburn than Alabama?
Absolutely.
Heisman race, man, can you remember? There just doesn't seem to be much buzz about it, right? And I think a lot of it's because nobody has really asserted themselves as the Heisman winner. You know, Bryce Young's been sitting there kind of as the default.
which is why I still think he's a favorite.
You know, all of a sudden now you're hearing C.J. Stroud come into the conversation because he's the quarterback at Ohio State. And then, of course, Kenneth Walker burst onto the national consciousness on Saturday with that 5-touchdown performance, 197 against Michigan. But, you know, maybe outside of you could say Walker with one of those runs, one of those long ones that he busted. Outside of that, none of these guys have what you would consider that Heisman moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know who's got a bunch of them?
Caleb Williams?
Yes. And he is the one that has the Heisman moments so far.
I mean, Texas all.
And he's not going to win. He's not going to win it. So these guys, especially the quarterbacks, man, if they could like buy a moment or two from Williams, because he's the one that's had the moments, mm-hmm. those indelible images that always accompany a Heisman winner. Caleb Williams is the one that's had the moments. He doesn't have the season.
Yeah, full season.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it. And so
betting odds have him as the fifth favorite.
Yeah, he's not winning it.
Just looking it up. I'm just looking it up.
So is it young?
Would it be an accomplishment just to get invited to New York if you're Caleb Williams?
Well, sure it would, considering you didn't play four games.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if he doesn't end up in New York, but he's not going to win the trophy. What does it go, Young, Stroud, Walker? Is Walker second now? And the odds you're looking at.
He's – I hope I'm looking up the right odds. I'm looking for a timestamp.
Oh, when these came?
Oh, an hour ago.
Okay.
So this is from MGM, BetMGM. Bryce Young, they still have Ole Miss quarterback.
Corral
at 2. Stroud at 3. Walker at 4.
And then Williams at 5.
Which is just, listen, they're looking at the school name.
Well, here's the deal. Kenneth Walker, if he runs wild over Ohio State, in a win, he'll win the trophy.
Yeah.
He'll win it. He'll win it that day if he can run wild against Ohio State in a Michigan State win. But it's still been a boring race. And I hope that happens, because those guys that have a chance to win it need to have a moment and have a performance.
We'll get to late game, big game situations, championship games, conference championship games.
Yeah, Young in the Iron Bowl, and then against Georgia.
Yeah.
Those are coming.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Caleb Williams is the only one that has them. All right, one of our listeners. Bills, Cowboys, Rams, Cardinals, Packers. Lions, Jags, Texans. This is the bottom three. All right, college football playoff rankings coming out tonight, the inaugural edition for the 2021 season. What, if you were in the room, what would your top six be?
If I was in the, how do I think it should be, or what mm-hmm. I would, how?
What are your top
my
six?
My top six. Okay, I'd go Georgia. I would put Alabama, Michigan State, OU at 4, followed by Cincinnati, and then Oregon.
Man, your order is how I think it'll be. So you had Georgia, Bama, Michigan State, OU and as the 4 mm-hmm. in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Cincy and Oregon. What I think it'll be is dang close to that. Mine, if it was me voting, I would have Georgia, Michigan State, Oklahoma, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, then Cincinnati, Michigan, Wake, and OSU would be 7 through 10. How I think it's going to be, I think it's Georgia 1, Bama 2, Michigan State 3, Oklahoma 4. I've got Ohio State 5 and Oregon 6 with Cincinnati 7th. That's how I think it'll be. Let me ask you this. Where does Oklahoma State need to be in this initial rankings where you would feel comfortable that they would have a chance – a legitimate chance to be able to get there by the end of the season with 2 wins over Oklahoma?
Anywhere between 15 and 12.
Oh, so you think they could be clear to 15 and move?
Sure. It's only the first ranking.
Okay.
If they win out, yes. I think anywhere around there they'll be okay.
Interesting. I feel like they need to be higher. What about Wake? What's going to happen to Wake? What would be your answer to that question Jim asked us yesterday?
If they go undefeated and win the ACC, they will be forced to be in the playoff. They would have to be put in the playoff.
I think so, too.
They'd have to.
I think so, too.
They'd absolutely have to put them in. You can't leave out an undefeated Power 5 conference champion. You just can't do it.
This is going to be – I hope it happens.
Yeah, it's going to be left out. It's going to be a one-loss team.
It's going to be an amazing test case because this reminds me so much of the first college football playoff. And Florida State was the defending national champ, and they were undefeated. And they were nowhere near one of the best four teams in the country. They weren't. And it was proven they weren't in the playoff. Oregon just absolutely dismantled them. But the argument was, well, they're an undefeated Power 5 champ.
Yeah.
You have to put them in. And you the committee felt like you had to put them in. And they had no business being in that playoff because it wasn't the year before. They weren't the same team.
Right.
And they were able to stumble through, make it, and then just got demolished. And speaking of Georgia hoping that they see A&M or Auburn in the SEC title game, you know how happy they would be to see Wake Forest as the four seed if they're the one?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, what if you're Oklahoma? If that scenario comes out and you're Oklahoma and they run the table, win the Big 12, they're obviously in, probably as a two.
Yeah.
Do you want Cincinnati? Thinking we can beat Cincinnati.
I think you'd rather have
Wake
Forest. But
the way Cincinnati has played, well, anybody wants Wake Forest. But what I'm saying is the way Cincinnati played the last 2 weeks, they look very pedestrian.
Oh, listen, if your choice is Cincinnati or Ohio State or Alabama, yeah, you roll the dice with Cincinnati. You have to.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting because there's a chance that the same people howling around about different teams being in the playoff are the same team, the same people howling around about how the first round matchups aren't any good.
Yeah.
And the potential exists for some really crappy ones.
Yep.
For big boys to beat up on little boys when we move on to the final.
Yep.
Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with the rankings tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right.